Thank you, Brother Wallachians. Just like the way that name kind of rolls off the tongue, Wallachians. Let me draw your attention. You can't see them in here, but if you notice the decals out on the halls, the scripture readings that are out there, we need to thank Ryan and Beth Holsenbach for doing that. They have been working with Don on some ideas, and then they have got those together and put them up for us, and there will be some more coming, but it might be a little while before the rest of the building is done, but they've done a great job putting those up so far. Wanted you to be aware of where that's coming from, so you see Ryan and Beth, you can tell them thank you for that. I appreciate so much the effort so many are making to move. I had comments from individuals, see people in different places. We won't draw any attention to them. They're doing a great job. But you don't have to move. But it's nice for us to be able to get around and get to move each other. We were going to talk about something else, but tonight we're going to talk about to the hard-headed ones that refuse to move. And so I'll be pointing right over here to Terry Pruitt and then also not only to those, but to those who were angry that somebody moved in their spot. And that really fits into where we were going anyway. It really doesn't, but kind of in a backward way, it does. I had thought last week, since we read Colossians, that tonight we would take a look at Philemon. And there's a lot in here for us. And sometimes when we go to the book and we read it, we get caught up in the slavery aspect of it, which is covered in the Bible as it's done here. But I want you to put yourself in Philemon's place. You've been wronged. You had done something for another, and it's been turned on you. And you have been taken advantage of. You have been wronged. And the one who wronged you shows back up with a letter in his hand. And the letter is the letter that you read. How does this book get in the Bible? How does a personal letter to an individual by the name of Philemon make its way into Scripture? That's an interesting question. And there's not really a complete and good answer to it. Who holds on to it? It's obvious that when Philemon received the letter, he didn't tear it up, which gives us some indication of Philemon's reaction to it and Philemon's response to it. There is a story, and one of our commentaries that's in the library for us, one of our better commentaries, will make reference to it and talk about it for a little while, and it is interesting reading. That when you pull together some of the history that is behind this, there evidently was, during the life of one of the early Christian historians, about the turn of the century, a man who was an elder of the church at Ephesus, whose name was Onesimus. And the elder named Onesimus in Ephesus had a copy of the letter. And that is something that the historian writes about from the standpoint of how it was preserved and how it came to be included in the books that were recognized as being from Paul. And isn't that an interesting story? If that is the same Onesimus, and it could very well have been about the same age. Not the same age, but still alive at the time that this historian is writing and living. and that Onesimus could have been an individual who was now serving as an elder and holding on to this letter that he had brought back to his master, indicating the change in life that took place for him and for his master. But you look at it and you read it from the standpoint of the person wronged, because that's who it's written to. And there's some interesting challenges in this book. And I should probably talk to our good brother and my dear friend Bill Baker about one of them. I may mention it to him, let it mention it to you. But when we go through, I may not, because that might not be a good idea. I get in trouble when I think out loud, but I do that constantly. Okay, let's start reading. And Paul writes this, evidently while he's a prisoner in Rome. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Timothy's with him. Not only him, at the end of the book, he'll get to who else is with him. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also, to Apophia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. Archippus is evidently the son. But it seems as if Archippus is a son, he's not a child. It seems as if Archippus may be an adult. Because Philemon lived in Colossae. And the people who brought the letter to the church at Colossae are the people who brought the letter that is going to be given to Philemon. And in the book of Colossae, Paul mentions that one of the ones bringing the letter is Onesimus. And he refers to Onesimus as being one of you, one of the people of Colossae. But more than that, Paul closes out the letter that he writes to the church at Colossae with a statement we wish we had more background on. And the statement is addressed to Archippus. So if you turn back just a few pages and go to the very end of the book of Colossians, you can read what the Apostle Paul writes at the end of that book that's addressed to Archippus. He says this, "Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received from the Lord." Somebody who needs some encouragement to finish what he's supposed to be doing. And then this direct instruction from Paul to Archippus that's not included in the book of Philemon, but it's included in the letter to the church at Colossae so that the congregation at Colossae can be aware of and be a source of encouragement for. And so Archippus is instructed by Paul, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received from the Lord, whatever that might be. In the letter to Philemon, if it is the same Archippus, and it seems to be, then Paul is talking about him as a fellow soldier, an individual who's involved in the work that is being done. And then Paul says, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes into his customary thanksgivings for the next three verses to this family. I'm always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all of his holy people. Now, these things are true. These are things that Paul appreciates. But they're also about to be issued a great challenge. So I thank God for you because I hear about your love for all of his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in this faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Because your understanding is about to be challenged on a very personal level. And I'm hoping and praying that you become effective and grow even deeper in understanding all that we have in Christ and how that impacts all of us individually. Because in reading between the lines, Philemon, it's about to hit you right where you live. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, my brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. And now, here's another opportunity. So let's read what he says. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. The thought I was going to raise to Bill was, is that being passive aggressive? I don't really think it is. I think he's being open and honest. I have every right as an apostle of Jesus Christ to tell you in the name of Jesus Christ, do this. But I don't want to do that. And I think if you could read between the lines, in essence, he is saying, and I don't think with you I have to do that. And what I want to do is appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. I'm not coming to you as an apostle. I'm coming to you as just Paul, the man you know, your friend. And I'm coming to you as an old man, far away from you, now in prison, not knowing when I'll get out, if I'll ever see you again. I have no power, no authority over you physically to force you to do this. And I don't want to. So I'm appealing to you just as Paul, an old man, now a prisoner. And I'm making an appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. How did he get there? There were individuals who were traveling with Paul and visiting Paul who were from Colossae. It could be that one of them saw Onesimus. It could be that one of them saw him, and Onesimus may have been in that area because of responsibility that he was carrying out on behalf of Philemon, and then ran away from that responsibility and didn't take care of it. Philemon knew that he had run away. And there evidently is indication that he also took things from him. Maybe money he was entrusted with to take care of business, or maybe things he left the house with. But evidently there were things he had taken, as well as running away from his service and his being a slave to Philemon. Whatever way it was, he made it to the place where Paul is in prison. And now he has become a Christian. He became my son while I was in chains. And Paul taught him the truth and brought him to Christ. Formerly, he was useless to you. A play on words. Onesimus means useful. And Paul is realizing and understanding that he is anything but useful, or has been anything but useful. He is useless, or has formerly been useless to you. But now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him back, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to have kept him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. Evidently, Onesimus had been doing some things. And Paul will make mention of that again And Paul is going to miss his service, whatever that service was. But he's sending him back to Philemon. And look at what this says about Onesimus. He comes back, and he doesn't come back in chains. He comes back, and he's not being forced to come back. But he comes back on his own to make things right and to go back to where he's supposed to be. It is the law of the land, by the way. And by the law of the land and by what he ought to do to his master, he's going back. And Paul continues, "But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not be forced, but would be voluntary. I want him to stay with me, but I want you to send him. I don't want to force you. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might be able to have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother of the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me." Can you almost change this now? Look at all these words and read them as if Jesus is writing to each and every one of us with regard to the person who's done us wrong. I could command you to do this, but I'm asking. If he owes you anything or she owes you anything, I'll pay for it. I already have. And I'm begging you to do this for me. I want you to welcome him just like you would welcome me. I want you to treat him just like you would treat me. Because this is Jesus writing this letter. It's the Holy Spirit writing this letter to all of us through the Apostle Paul. If he's done any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand, and I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. We won't talk about what you owe me, but just charge whatever he owes you to me, and I'll pay it back. Think this letter hits hard? I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Fill me with joy. Let me see the love of Christ in you. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Maybe whenever we're having a hard time forgiving, maybe whenever we have been hurt so deeply by someone, and especially when they are seeking to restore a relationship, maybe we need to take the time to stop and read the letter Jesus writes to us. And read the letter that Paul wrote to his friend. And think about the man who came back on his own to face his former master and the man that he wronged. Because he knew it was what the Lord would have him to do. And he came to restore relationships. And it's so easy then to imagine that this letter would have been held dear to Onesimus. And that maybe, in fact, whenever we get all of the history to the point we see it completely and totally, we'll recognize that this was a letter that Philemon listened to and obeyed and followed and then gave to a slave and said, you need to keep this. And Onesimus kept it and became an elder with the church at Ephesus and kept this letter and used it to strengthen himself. Now let me ask you, if that were the case and Onesimus kept this letter and he became an elder of the church at Ephesus and problems arose with individuals and problems arose with people, what do you think Onesimus would have done when bad things were done to him and he remembered this letter that was written on his behalf? And in the same way, whenever bad things come to us, Jesus wants us to remember the bad things that came to him. And we were the ones that did it. And what he was willing to do on our behalf because of his love for us. And so he tells us a parable to illustrate it. Where a man owed a small amount of money and he was forgiven. Or rather, he owed a great deal amount of money and he was forgiven. And he found somebody that owed him just a little bit. And he began to choke him and beat him and throw him in prison until he paid all of it, even though he was forgiven. And Jesus concludes the parable by saying, it'll be that way with every single one of you if you don't forgive your brother from the heart. And here's an example of that very thing being done. A very small letter. Boy, what a powerful letter to talk to us about the way that we ought to be toward those who do us wrong and they come asking for our forgiveness. You in Christ?